Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With 24 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections, hashtag Stop Galamsey is still on. More and more astute voices put burden of restoring peace in parliament at the doorstep of the speaker as pressure piles on Abambabwe to comply with the Supreme Court ruling to end the impasse.
The speaker should do what is required of him because the Supreme Court has spoken and therefore he has to abide by the ruling of the Supreme Court and move on.
We also hear from the former Chief of Staff, Kojo Mpieni's further caution against resorting to the court in parliamentary matters, insisting it can be a recipe for chaos.
Parliament should avoid the running to court for the court to decide for Parliament. I believe Parliament should be able to resolve issues itself.
But former Supreme Court Judge William Atugube reminds the Speaker about the implications of not adhering to the Apex Court's judgment.
Contempt is there, and it's a high crime. You can be prosecuted, and you will have to suffer imprisonment up to 10 years. And not only that, 10 years disqualification from holding public office. If you are president, you are liable to removal.
Also tonight, two more private members' bill introduced by NDC MPs to repeal COVID-19 levy and emissions levy with a parliamentary standoff unresolved and the House on an indefinite suspension. We have details, but with the Constitution providing that private members' bills can only reduce and not remove taxes, can these bills actually withstand the constitutional test? We get the opinion of a lawyer on this, and we go to the Bekwai Circuit Court, and we know that if charged six persons who assaulted Joy News journalist my colleague Erastus Asare-Dongo and his crew with five counts of assault, stealing and conspiracy to commit crime. We'll stay on the environment and hear from President Akufo-Addo his global speech on the destruction of the environment.
As a father and a grandfather, I question what we will leave behind. What world will we leave behind? Our children's future hinges on our decisions.
And in business, Chamber of Petroleum Consumers report a shortage of petroleum products in parts of the country.
In sports, George Freer pleads not guilty to GFA misconduct charges.
And much later, from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. That's the reaction of a mother whose daughter has been battling end-stage kidney failure from the age of 13. Today, she's overwhelmed with gratitude after Ibrahim Mahama paid in full the $25,000 cost of her daughter's kidney transplant.
Ibrahim said,
well, we'll get to hear from Rosemary's mother shortly here on Newsnight. You want to join us with your thoughts and your comments via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. We are live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, in Kumasi, on Love 99.5 FM. We have details after.
Thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight. And tonight, more and more dissenting voices are speaking up on the current impasse in Parliament, with some placing the burden of restoring peace squarely at the doorstep of the Speaker, Alban Bagbing. Kojo Mpieni, former Chief of Staff under President Jikum Kufo, is the latest to call on the Speaker to comply with the Apex Court's decision, which overturned his decision to declare four parliamentary seats, Fomina, Suhum, Amenfi West and Amenfi Central, vacant. It is unclear what will happen next, since the Speaker is yet to recall the House, but the Speaker has been advised publicly by various personalities to comply with the ruling and settle the impasse. We can hear from Kojo Mpieni, who insists Parliament itself has the ability to resolve its issues and cautioned against resorting to the judiciary to settle issues about the legislature.
I hope, it is my hope that it will end.
National Film Theatre.
But, you see, I believe Parliament should find a way of resolving its issues instead of running to court. Because if you go to court, the court gives its decision, fine. So what happens in this case, for example, you go back to Parliament. I hope, and my sincerest hope, that the speaker will accept, not accept, maybe that's the right word. The speaker should do what is required of him, because the Supreme Court has spoken, and therefore he has to abide by the ruling of this, of the Supreme Court. And I believe he's an experienced a lawyer. He's been in Parliament since the beginning of the Fourth Republic, and therefore it's my hope that he will just accept the decision of the Supreme Court and move on. But to go back to what you are saying, Parliament should avoid the running to court for the court to decide for Parliament. I believe Parliament should be able to resolve issues itself. Let's take this particular case. If you go back to Parliament, and for example, you don't get quorum to take decision, what have you achieved? Yes, Supreme Court has said that this is the situation, fine. But then you don't even have quorum to proceed.
Well, retired Supreme Court Judge William Atogaba is also warning Speaker of Parliament Abambabwe there will be dire consequences if he fails or refuses to comply with the judgment of the Supreme Court. In an exclusive interview with Joy News, Elton Brobe, Mr. Atogaba, who at some point was also acting Chief Justice, explained that the Speaker could spend up to 10 years in jail or be barred from holding public office if he does not comply with the orders of the court.
This is what we have to live with. What do we expect the Speaker of Parliament to do? Oh, in the face of this decision, he's bound by the decision of the Supreme Court. He's bound by it. I have heard the Member of Parliament for Savdai, Rosin Dafiameko.
Yes.
He makes the point that only Parliament can give an effect to the decision by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Is he right?
Oh, of course, it's addressed to them. But it doesn't mean that if they fail to comply, they are the only people who can. There are processes.
Mm-hmm.
Contempt is there. And it's a high crime. Can be prosecuted. And you have to suffer imprisonment up to 10 years.
That is if the court decision is not complied with.
Yes, up to 10 years. It's not necessarily 10 years, but there's no option of a fine. Mm-hmm. You must just suffer some term of imprisonment, not exceeding 10 years.
Mm.
And not only that, 10 years disqualification from holding public office.
And that's Justice William Atogaba. Let's bring in Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante briefly on this match on what we're learning when it comes to the situation in Parliament. Kweku, do we know where the Speaker is now, and is he preparing to recall Parliament? Do we know?
Well, as of now, the sources in the Parliamentary Service have not been able to confirm to us if the Speaker is working to recall Parliament on his own volition. In fact, as we speak, Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin is not in the country. The details as to this visit is a bit sketchy. We do not have a confirmation yet, even if it's official or it's a private visit. So the Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin, following that indefinite suspension of Parliament and following the Supreme Court order, has not been in the country and is currently outside the country. Again, we have no idea when exactly he's set to return, but barely 3 weeks to the election, and we're barely 2 months for the life of this parliament to expire. We expect, obviously, from the information we are getting, that the Speaker of Parliament will be back in the country before the election. But as to whether or not the Speaker of Parliament will recall Parliament on his own volition, that is not something that is being worked on currently in terms of the Speaker's office, and that will mean the majority side may have to advise themselves.
And what are you picking up from the majority side? Are there moves? What exactly are you picking up?
The majority leader also, Alexander Fenner-Markin, we understand, also left the country last night. We understand he will meet the president, who is also outside the country, as well as the finance ministry. Much of the business that is currently outstanding in parliament has to do with the finance ministry. The most important business, perhaps, is the vote on accounts, the first quarter of 2025 budget. That is outstanding. Of course, prior to Parliament being suspended indefinitely, that is not a business that has come up. In fact, it had not actually been scheduled. But that is a business that is usually taken before the 7th December election in previous election years. But this time around, there's absolutely no doubt about that. The finance minister has been in France negotiating and talking with some bilateral creditors. and the president, we also know, has been outside the country, in fact, at COP29 as we speak. We understand the majority leader has also left. He is going to meet both the president and the finance minister. They will fashion out the idea in terms of what is the strategy going forward. Are they going to wait for the Speaker of Parliament to recall Parliament on its own volition, which we expect the Speaker to do perhaps after the 7th December election, or they will trigger a recall as they have done in the last three times, Senator Pao?
Thank you very much. That's a Parliamentary Affairs correspondent, Kwikwa Asante. And thankfully, Evans, we have a leading voice in the majority side. It's Asante Achim North MP, Andy Appiah, could be joining us on the line. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Really, what's really happening when it comes to Parliament or the Supreme Court judgment and this whole debacle between in Parliament, or it would rather make it worse? Where do you stand?
Oh, thank you very much and good evening. Are you listening to me?
Yes, I am. Loud and clear.
Thank you very much. Good evening. The Supreme Court has spoken. And when Supreme Court speaks, all of us are required by the law to comply. So now that the Supreme Court has spoken, I don't think there's any further argument. The status quo ante remains. And which means that we have a 138 members of parliament forming a majority side, 136 or so forming the minority side. And that is what it is. I don't think there's any need for any further argument. Like I always say, the optics are not good for us internationally. And therefore, once the Supreme Court has settled the matter, we are all enjoying to comply.
You say there's no further argument, but do you know exactly when Parliament will be recalled? What exactly is the talk around it?
Mm-hmm. There are two ways of calling Parliament to sit. One way is the Speaker summoning members to sit, and the other is for the members to pay the 15% of membership coming by way of a motion petition to call sitting of parliament. So either way, we have a lawful way of reconvening. So I guess we will have to go through one of them.
And which one are we taking? Are there moves to trigger any of them? Because we see that at least the Speaker is not going to do that on his own volition. At least as at now, from our checks, that's not happening. So on your side, have we started taking signatures? Are you triggering that process?
I'm not part of leadership, so I cannot answer this question. But I want to believe that the Speaker continues to be a Speaker of the House. And therefore, I'm not sure he will relinquish his responsibility as a Speaker. I don't know where you're getting your information from, stating that the Speaker will not recall Parliament. I don't know where you're getting information from, but I guess when this impasse is over, Speaker goes back as Speaker, and then we expect of him to discharge his responsibilities according to his mandate as specified in the Constitution.
But there are those who are concerned that it does appear that this is the end of the life of this parliament. What assurances can you give? Are you setting that you will sit before the election, or that's it?
There cannot be an end before the end. We are still in November of 2024. The end of parliament would be the midnight of January 6th. 2025. So I don't know where this end matter is coming. Nevertheless, since we are still within the time of Parliament, recall is very likely.
And yesterday, on a separate subject, you received high praise from a former Supreme Court judge to the point where he actually recommends that if anybody deserves to be appointed to the Supreme Court, it is yourself. Listen to former Supreme Court Judge William Atukuba.
He's a member of parliament. I've never known him. I've never seen him except on social media. Apia Kubi.
Yes, Apia Kubi, a member of parliament for Asante Achi.
Yes, such a person. If I had my way and he was interested in the Supreme Court, I would put him there because he's a brass tack MPP, but very objective minded. Very, very objective.
Mr. Apia Kubi.
My brother,
any interest in going to the Supreme Court?
The ifs were also around the suggestion. I thank you very much for the recognition, and I challenge that very much. Nevertheless, it boils down to the suggestions that I've always put up, that we must grow more of statesmen than partisan activists. Because we have one country as Ghana, and this is the most priceless commodity that we have, and all of us are going to protect it and develop it. In matters of law, if you have any advantage that you want to use, it must be in sync with the execution of law and procedure.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To subvert any of the two, substantive law or procedure, will come back to you at the time when we are most vulnerable. So it's important that we uphold the rule of law, the principles of law, and the procedure intact, so that whatever will happen will be very predictable as we move on. Otherwise, if we bring ambiguities and imperfections and no predictability into operations of law, nobody knows who would have the benefit of it in different times. So, as happened today, or as happened in the case of the four members of parliament, we have had to be confronted with a very wrong ruling by a former speaker. And I would have thought that the present speaker would have taken the opportunity to bring out the heroism that was beckoning him, so that he would have done what is right. And granted that he also fell in line with the former speaker's ruling, and the Supreme Court has brought us all back in line. I think let the matter rest. And I thank Justice Tukuba for his recognition. I am most challenged by such pronouncement, because I must live to that high standard as he espoused. I thank you very much. And I thank you also for the platform that he shared to issue our such strong acknowledgments and recommendations. I thank you all. And I promise him that I would uphold the standard that he so advocated. I thank you very much.
And you won't turn down that opportunity if it comes your way, will you? Go to the Supreme Court.
I turn down the opportunity to do what?
The Supreme Court. You won't turn it down, will you?
So he said if he had...
Yeah. If the opportunity...
So it was conditional.
President. Yes, I know.
So let's work towards him getting the power first. Then we will take it from there.
That makes sense. Thank you very much. And that there's Apia Kubi, a man who has been tipped now, to the Supreme Court. If indeed William Atuguba had the opportunity to appoint anybody. Let's stay on the subject a while longer. Dr. Rashid Draman is the Executive Director of the Africa Center for Parliamentary Affairs. Also joins us. He's been working in previous circumstances when Parliament seemed to be gridlocked to try and disentangle that gridlock. May possibly be involved in another attempt to get Parliament to reconvene maybe and do government business. Dr. Rashid Draman, that's where we are. The Supreme Court has decided on the matter. What's the best way forward?
Yeah, Evans, the best way forward, in my opinion, I think is perhaps to ride on the reconciliatory kind of approach taken by Honorable Afenyo Makin. I mean, I hear him yesterday after the Supreme Court ruling, even though this should have been a statement that he should have issued a long while ago. However, it's always better late than never. At the end of the day, we want the two sides to sit down and talk and try to find ways of, you know, coming to the middle and getting work done. I understand the NDC is still stuck in its position, but I would say, you know, an opposition party, a minority party, is always considered as a government in waiting. And you want to demonstrate, you know, that you are ready to take on the reins of government when the opportunity comes. And in circumstances like this, that is how perhaps citizens are going to look at the posturing of the NDC. So what am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, let Ghanaians be the final judges in terms of all that has transpired over the last couple of weeks. Let Ghanaians be the ones who decide on December 7 who becomes majority and who becomes minority. In the meantime, let them go to the house and let them sit down and try to do the business of our country for us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rashid Draman, the Executive Director of the Africa Center for Parliamentary Affairs. And George Office is here with the latest from the world of business.
And hi, Evans, and I'm getting you more in business as we tell you more about some development in the banking space and also the fact that the petroleum consumers are warning of some shortage of petroleum products across the country. And Development Bank Ghana rejects reports of misuse of donor funds, insisting current audit reports doesn't support the claim by Vice President of Imani Ghana, Bright Simons. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business.
You welcome back to Business on Newsnight. And the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers is reporting of shortage of petroleum products in parts of the country. The Chamber, in a statement issued today, linked the challenge to supply issue at depots of the bulk oil storage and transport company. The Chamber is also claiming that some private oil traders are refusing to supply products due to debts owed them by the bulk oil storage and distribution firms. Now, Duncan Amwa is the Executive Secretary of the Chamber.
National Film Theatre, Sensa, China for Boy.
I last saw on Sunday, and as of this morning, the situation still pertains. Our checks indicate that, of course, there's been some upgrades being done by BOST across their depots. That notwithstanding, some oil traders have also clearly been a bit hesitant in bringing further supplies at this point due to what we term as backwardation in pricing at this point. So these challenges would exist, but that said, I am quite aware that there are some cargoes that are discharging this evening. By tomorrow morning, we should have products come into the market. So latest the weekend, there should be some stability in supplies across the various fuel stations that are experiencing these shortages. I do not think that consumers should panic. The situation is under control currently, and I'm sure that by the end of the week, we would have been able to normalize whatever the situation is.
Duncan Amwa is the Executive Secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers. Now, finance lecturer at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Elik Blimagbloyo, is warning of some challenging times for Consolidated Bank Ghana. Now, this was after the bank was suspended from undertaking foreign exchange transactions for 1 month by the Bank of Ghana. Professor Elik Blimagbloyo says that this could put some pressure on the bank's operations.
Because the implication of suspending their license is not just on the bank, right? It can actually affect the customers of the bank. What this means is that if you're a customer of the bank, you are expecting remittance inflows, you want to do a foreign transfer, etc., you cannot do this. And I don't think that the customers of CBG should be punished for the actions or inactions of the bank. So if you ask me, there may have been other ways to approach this, like I've mentioned, warnings, fines, putting in place continuous monitoring systems, etc. These better control systems. It's going to affect their operations because they can't transact in the FX market. They can't send funds abroad. They can't receive funds abroad, both for their proprietary accounts and also for the accounts of their customers. So I think that is going to have a huge impact on CBG. Like George mentioned, we are expecting more remittances towards December when we are getting to Christmas. Those abroad will be sending money to their relatives back home.
Professor Elik Limagbloyo is a finance professor at the University of Ghana Business School. Now, Development Bank Ghana has rejected claims that it misused funds allocated for its operations by the country's development partners. The bank, in a statement, has rejected all claims made by the Imani Vice President, Brad Simmons, about the dealings of the bank over the years. There is more in this report.
On the issue that over 400 million cedis has been lost through improper contracting, Consolidated Bank Ghana noted that these allegations are not true, as several audits carried out does not back these claims. The bank also in the statement rejected claims that it had been reporting losses over the years, insisting that audited report showed otherwise, that it has been reporting profits since 2021. Also on manipulated governance structure at the bank, the management also described that as false, thus as because several audits by the external partners and even the Finance Committee of Parliament had actually exonerated them on these claims. Development Bank Ghana concluded a statement by arguing that in the coming days, it will be providing more information and also engage key stakeholders in order to address what it describes as misinformation and inaccuracy about its operations.
And that is a Business Dex report. Now, Strategic ESG and Sustainable Impact Summit has kicked off with its ambitious agenda to drive the business world towards sustainable net zero future. Now, this year's summit aims to facilitate the paradigm shift on how businesses can operate. And Kojo Dubuating is Sales and Marketing Director at EWA Green Investment West Africa.
Yes, we're a time where foreigners wouldn't want to come into this, should I say, hazardous environment again, because the pollution is so high. When you come in and you move, you get sick. So nobody would want to come in an environment where I come in and I get sick. Do you get me? So it's up to the government to take care of this, to initiate, like what you just said, something or some kind of taxes that if an environment or an industry that manufactures and pollutes so much, if you don't go renewable, this is how much I charge you on electricity or something, then everyone will sit up. Do you understand? In that sense, then they will begin to chase out to, okay, so where are the financiers that would help me finance my renewable?
Nana Kojo Edubuating is Sales and Marketing Director at EWI Green Investment West Africa. And that's all for Business on Newsnight. Back to you, Emefa Apau.
Thank you very much, George Riafe. Well, let me take you to the Ashanti region, and the Bekwai Circuit Court has charged 6 persons involved in the assault of Joinese journalist Erastus Osare Dunko and his crew with 5 counts of assault, stealing, and conspiracy to commit crime, among others. Well, environmental journalist Erastus Osare Dunko and his team were abducted and physically assaulted by heavily built men working for Edo Metallum Resources Limited. 5 other suspects we know are at large. Love FM editor Kofi Udomfe was in court today and has the rest of the story.
The 6 accused persons who appeared in court include Felix Amankwa, Akwesi Frimpon, Frederick Afol, Joshua Ofori, Mumuni Musa, and Daniel Appiah, all employees of Edo Metallium Resources Limited. They are between the ages of 23 and 52 years. They are accused of forcibly abducting Erastus Osare Dunko, Majid Aledu, Edward Akun, and Nicholas Suanta, taking them to an undisclosed location, subjecting them to brutal beatings, and later abandoning them. the Joy News crew were investigating illegal mining activities at Mansun Esumenya. Prosecution, led by ASP Lloyd Bedu, charged all accused persons on 5 counts of assault, conspiracy to commit crime, and stealing. All 6 pleaded not guilty to the charges. Their counsel pleaded the court to admit the accused persons to bail, arguing they have been of good behavior after a police inquiry bail. The prosecutor did not object to the plea. Presiding Judge Justice Isaac Apietu therefore granted the plea for bail with 2 sureties of 100,000 Ghana cedis and for all accused persons to present themselves to the Mansun Edubia police every Monday before the next court hearing. The case was adjourned to Friday, December 13, 2024. For Joy News, Kofi Edudomfe reporting.
Well, we have more on illegal mining because there are concerns about what exactly is happening to that fight. Another hashtag, Stop Galamse Now. There's been some loud silence, especially from stakeholders, including organized labor, since the initial move by government to deal with the menace after labor called off the intended nationwide strike. We'll be hearing from Dr. Kenneth Ashigbe on this, convener for the Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Galamse, and then also hear from President Akufo-Addo at his final address to COP29. Let me bring you sports now. Danny Kranting, what we have?
Let's go straight into the stories. And former Vice President of the Ghana Football Association, George Ifrie, has formally pleaded not guilty to charges of improper conduct. The charges filed by the GFA relate to comments he made in a recent interview where he discussed controversial issues surrounding the Ghana Premier League, particularly the governance and alleged manipulation within Ghana football. In his official response, Ifrie stated that his comments were taken out of context. He argued that his remarks were part of a broader discussion on pressing issues affecting the league and were not intended to constitute improper conduct. Now, the Black Stars are scheduled to arrive in Luanda, Angola, in the next few hours ahead of Friday's AFCON qualifier. Now, there has been criticism over the inability of Black Stars players to translate their club form to the national team. Defender Gideon Mensah explains that the factors surrounding club and international football are different and assures that the Black Stars players are committed to the cause.
This question is, I mean, even if we were performing very, very good in the national team, we're still not going to be like the performance in our club, because obviously, like, you're playing a club where you've been training for like the whole season together, and then every day, and then you come to the national team and then you have like 3 days, 4 days to train and you have a game. And then obviously, like you said, it's not always going to be the performance, but I know that every player here in the national team is ready to fight for the country and then ready to fight for the shed. We may not always get it how we want it to go in the game, but I promise you that we're always working to get what the results are going to want from us.
Black Stars defender Gideon Mensah bringing an end to sports. Back to you, MFA.
Thank you very much, Danny Quentin. So we'll go back to our hashtag Stop Galamse fight. And like I said, we're hearing from Dr. Kenneth Ashigbe raising concerns about the silence of stakeholders, including organized labor, since the initial move by government to deal with the menace after labor called off the intended strike. He's been speaking on the Super Morning Show.
Tell me which of the enhanced things have started that you have been able to see that some results, apart from when the military moved out and then they deployed and they got media people in there for one day. After that, what has happened? Nothing. So which one again? The court, nothing. The issues about Airlines 2462, they have all the two of them who sat in parliament, the NDC and the MPP who sat in parliament to get that law, that obnoxious law passed. They have decided that they are more interested in where they will sit than how we will deal with these issues. Well, another thing that we're also planning on doing is to mobilize all the presidential candidates and then also the parliamentary candidates to sign on to that. Nothing has happened. What do you know? So it is important that we also, as a people, we really wake up and say that, you know, if it was your son, you know, who had a 4th-year student from KNUSB, just had to go and defend his thesis, it was to fall into a pit and die. Are you now going to say we should wait to the next election? You know, if it's your daughter, that goes to give birth to a baby with four feet and 2 hands, and then, you know, without genitalia, dies. And the postmortem is carried out. And in the bone marrow, the level of toxicity in that, would you be happy about it? This is the question we'll be asking ourselves.
Well, illegal money is undoubtedly one of the biggest threats to the environment and the climate here locally in Ghana. The president, President Akufo-Addo, has been speaking about the subject at the COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan, including what government has been doing to address climate change. He says there must be a consolidated effort to stop destruction of the environment.
Ghana submitted updated nationally determined contributions to the United Nations, encompassing 47 programs to mitigate and adapt to climate impacts. Our goal is to cut emissions by 64 million metric tons by 2030, demanding investments between 10 and 15 billion United States dollars. Despite financial and technical hurdles, we're determined to meet the Paris Agreement's goals across agriculture, transport, forestry, energy, and other sectors. We have made strides. The Green Ghana Project has planted 50 million trees, and forest restoration efforts have covered 721,000 hectares since 2017 when I came to office. 13 mitigation actions have cut annual greenhouse gas emissions by 43% since 2021. Ghana's national electric vehicle policy, backed by tax incentives, promotes sustainable mobility, and our energy transition framework steers us towards a green future.
That's President Akufo-Addo. It's time for today's episode of Climate Focus, and we explore how discarded secondhand clothing is finding new life that is more environmentally friendly, with millions of textile waste arriving weekly. Some of the unsellable items typically end up in landfills or incinerators. Michael Ashale has more in the following report.
No longer bring seashells to Ghana's shores. They now dredge up piles of discarded clothes left to rot on the beaches. Each week, around 15 million pieces of second-hand clothing, once worn in the global north, flood markets like Kantamanto, much of it unsellable, worn out, torn, stained or too fragile.
Trash. Those trash, nobody buying those ones. So something like this, we can't sell it. It's very bad. Nobody buys it.
Agbogbloshie Market, a place infamous for its pollution, is where much of the unsellable clothing ends up. Clothes that can't be resold are tossed into illegal dump sites, forming literal hills of waste. The Oil Foundation is confronting this mountain problem head-on, a factory to breathe new life into unwanted waste clothing.
Like we're in Ghana, nobody needs winter jackets over here, but a lot of those also come in. As long as somebody has no use for it and it can't find a good place to go to, that's waste.
Kini Ofuriwa Makati is the assistant manager in charge of material research and development at the Oil Foundation. The first step in this process is sorting the clothes by color and then compressing them back into bales.
When we buy them, we bring them to our warehouse facility and then we sort them by color.
These clothes, once considered waste, are now ready for the next phase. The bales are shredded into small pieces, cutting the fabric down to size. From there, they are passed through the granulator, which makes the shredded material even finer.
When we are ready, the shredded material comes to the dough mixer for production. There we mix the material with cassava glue, which is the usual starch that we know, and some additives for different purposes like mold inhibition and fire resistance. So we mix that and then we form the dough into boards and frames. After we form the dough into the boards, then we put them into our dehydrator to dry. It usually takes between about 16 to 18 hours or more for you to dry a full board.
What emerges from this meticulous process is not waste, but potential.
We're also working on products that we can make from the fiberboard. Behind me are speakers, both fully made speakers, which were the first speakers that we made, and then the speaker housing down here. We have hangers, there's room dividers, acoustic panels, because fiberboard has good acoustic properties, as well as many other things. And we're looking to see if we can commercialize some of these products soon.
The All Foundation's mission doesn't stop at textiles. They are also exploring ways to restore the polluted Agbogbloshie Lagoon. Remediation and Decomposition Project Lead, Katia Mami Dufie Osei, is focused on finding environmentally friendly ways to break down not only textiles, but plastics as well.
Well, basically, we believe that the microbial population in Kwale Lagoon, because of the decades and decades of textile waste, has evolved to be able to degrade it in a way in rates that we haven't really seen in other communities. So we're basically just trying to harness that to deal with the textile waste we're getting from markets like Kantamanso, etc. Kwale is a lot, like no jokes. However, we believe that it would be arrogance to say we could go and maybe just one quick solution, pull out all the waste and leave it, because ecosystems are fragile. But right now we've been diverting some of it into our setup right now. This is supposed to be our example to show that, well, plants and bacteria and fungi and all that can in fact clean canals like that and Kwale Lagoon.
While still in its early stages, this initiative is part of a broader vision to restore the lagoon's environment. The waste that once polluted landfills is now being transformed into sustainable products that serve a purpose. But with millions of garments continuing to flow into the country each week, the fight is far from over. For Joy News, Michael Ashale.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging gaps for positive youth development, and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
Well, and from tears of sorrow to tears of joy, that's the mood for Grace Akwili, mother of Rosemary Bwede. You remember Rosemary, right? That 13-year-old that is battling with end-stage kidney failure. She needed $25,000 for that kidney transplant. The mother was willing to give one kidney. And, of course, Ibrahim Mahama came through, paid the full bill, and she's been reacting to it. She was on Changes today on the Joy Prime channel. Listen to her. That's how we end today's edition of Newsnight. It's strong and sassy.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
So today we're talking about saying no. A woman's ability to say no and creating...
Very difficult.
Yeah.
And creating...
No, well, which part of it is difficult?
Saying no to things, you know, in our personal lives.
Difficult to
say. Because it is, as a woman, it's difficult to say. Every time you say no, there are repercussions.
Of course.
Like, for example, if some boy comes to chase, you know, we are
it's not just about chasing or boy.
Wow, you won't even let me land. People should do the show. People should do the show. No, go ahead. I'm interested. No, I was saying that, I mean, while taking it from the relationship viewpoint, that when you say no and then you are not getting and your family will come back and you are picky and you are this. Women who say no to the things they don't want sometimes are seen as, you know, snobbish or too known, or we're not really in a culture where assertiveness and decisiveness is celebrated in women. It doesn't change the fact that we have to be able to say no to certain things so that we can say yes to the things that really matter. So tonight we're talking about setting boundaries and saying no.
By your power, you say no?
Yes, no. Yes, I'll say no.
Okay.
Let's get out of
Stay tuned. Yeah. Strong and Sassy up next.